Hello again and welcome to another episode of Real Talk with RJ. If this is your first time listening, please don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you know exactly when we're releasing brand new episodes. Today we're going to be talking about something that everybody's pretty much talking about, that's on everyone else's mind: Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, the trial that just got done concluding, which thankfully Johnny Depp won. This is something that's actually been on my mind for a little bit because there was so much backlash before a decision was even made, before the evidence even came out. You know, Amber Heard came out and started talking about Johnny Depp being abusive and how he was toxic and how he was controlling and all these other things that were going on. And the immediate response was that Disney pulled him from the franchise that he pretty much built from top to bottom. He stopped him from being Captain Jack Sparrow, and they just wanted to save face and be politically correct, which is, you know, the common these days, that people want to often take the side of the first person that comes out and says something without actually saying, you know what, this sounds messed up, but I'm just going to go ahead and wait until I hear all the evidence. So what ended up happening? Amber Heard put on a little circus with her very sad attorneys, and Johnny Depp had attorneys who were ready to not be politically correct, but be cutthroat and honest so that the truth actually did come out. And what ended up happening? Johnny Depp was proved to not be toxic. He was proved to not be the abusive person that Amber, as she's jokingly called Amber Turd, referred to him as. In fact, we find out that Amber Heard was the person that was actually assaulting Johnny Depp. We also find out that she was a toxic one. She was the abusive one. She was the controlling one. But what happened to her career while she was making these comments? You know, she probably made a lot of money, you know, book deals, tours, and all this other stuff going on about how she was trying to smut Johnny Depp up. Turns out Johnny Depp was actually a pretty stand-up guy. Yeah, he has his own little demons that he's dealing with, but he wasn't harming other people, you know, as a result of indulging in his personal drug use. You know, this isn't about judging, you know, the character of drug use or anything like that. It's about talking about why people jump on a side so quick without actually waiting to see the full story. You know, as a black man, I've been persecuted a lot from members of my own racial community because of the fact that I like to wait until I see the entire story before I, you know, form an opinion on something. On so many occasions, we were seeing black people who were shot by cops, and we only see a small clip of that shooting. We see like, oh my gosh, you shot him, you shot my husband, oh my gosh, this is horrible, why would you do that, or you shot this little black kid, or you shot this black man. Like, we're seeing all that stuff, and so many people in my ethnic community are like, do you see that? That was racist, that was racist. And I'm like, wait, there's not enough information there. Yeah, on face value it seems racially motivated on face value, but you got to really wait for the entire clip to come out. What led up to that? That's context. You know, if, like, for example, let's say, and what I mean by that, because I know some people are probably going to be thinking, oh, well, you know, you don't need that much context to identify something like that. Let's break it down. Context is everything. Context makes sense out of the entire issue. Let's say you're sitting down at a park and you see this older priest-looking man who, he's walking around in this park. You're looking at him like, what the heck? You know, what is he doing here? There's no church really that close to here. But he kneels down to this little boy who's playing by himself. He kneels down and you can't hear him. All you see is that he kneels down to this little boy. And then he looks around. The little boy's looking around. And then he grabs the little boy's hand and he starts walking. He doesn't get very far at all. You immediately jump up and you run over there to that little boy's aid, because what is going on in your mind is that this pervert is about to kidnap a little boy and do something vile to him. But what was actually happening was that this priest is very familiar with this neighborhood, and it's a very dangerous neighborhood. In fact, you're the one that's you're not knowledgeable about what really goes on in this neighborhood. So that priest, who is known to have a great reputation and amongst people who really, you know him in that society, he walks over to the little boy and goes, you shouldn't be out here by yourself. Where's your mom and dad? And the little boy goes, I don't know. So then the priest goes, you know what? Let's go find him. Let's go find him together. And his sincere intent was to go grab that little boy's hand and take him, you know, to go find his parents, to let them know, hey, I saw your child out there running, wandering around in this park. It's a very dangerous area. There's a lot of gang activity that happens in this area, and I don't want your kid to get shot or get hurt. Now, if that was a woman who did the exact same thing, word for word, action for action, people wouldn't think much of it. People would think, oh, that's probably his mom. How come we didn't think that's probably his dad? Oh, was there a skin difference? So people adopt. You immediately stereotype without actually looking at the entirety. It's okay to investigate things. It's okay to walk over there and say, excuse me, I just saw you. Like, do you know this child? You know, and if it's the person's father or mother, they're going to say, yeah, it's my son, or yeah, it's my daughter. And you can immediately tell by the way the child's acting, like, yeah, like the child's going to be like, you're not my daddy. Or the kids are pretty honest. So something will stand out, and, you know, you'll be able to detect what's really going on if something foul is going on. But if a woman were to do the exact same thing, people wouldn't think much of it. People wouldn't go up and go, oh my gosh, she's trying to kidnap that child. When in reality, there's lots of women out there who do similar things. It's just, it's not reported like it is when guys do it. Women commit almost as many, if not more, crimes than men. But men do more time for it. Those are statistics. If you don't like them, sorry, that's just society. That's reality. If a man walks up to a woman and hits him, or excuse me, if a man walks up to a woman and hits her, automatically that guy is a horrible woman beater, and he's vile, and people are going to jump on him, and I can't believe that. But if a woman walks up and slaps a man, which very often women tend to do that, people immediately go, oh, it's not a big deal. Why? Why is there a double standard there? Why is it okay for one sex to do it but not another? Aren't we in a society that's talking about equality? Shouldn't that woman get arrested just like a man should get arrested for hitting a woman? Where's the equality there? How come so many more women who have children are awarded probation or parole without doing really any jail time for the same crimes that are putting guys away for years? On so many occasions, you'll see women out there saying, I have a baby, I have a son or a daughter, she needs me or he needs me. And then the judge will say, well, you know, I don't want to take the child away from his mother or her mother, so we're going to put you on probation. You need to report, and these are the conditions. I will put you away if you disobey again. And then the woman goes home, and she's, you know, either she's squared away doing what she's supposed to be doing, or she does the same things over and over again. She doesn't stop. So what happens there? Let's say it's a man. Man says the exact same thing. Well, you know, I have a son, Your Honor. Or I have a daughter, Your Honor. And then the judge goes, well, you should have thought about that before you committed those crimes. And he goes away. That's what happens 9 times out of 10. People are saying, oh, this is a man's world. This is a patriarchal world. No, it's not. Women get away with so much more than what guys are getting away with. And they're trying to call it the feminist movement. They're trying to call it equal pay, equal rights. No. They want superiority. It's, if you want equality, you should take equality in all of its aspects. You know, don't try to sit there and demand that men be gentlemen when it fits your agenda, and then we want equality when it doesn't. People are saying, oh my gosh, why are male basketball players getting paid so much more money? Because there's more fans. More people want to actually watch an NBA game and watch men play basketball because they put on more of a show. It's more entertaining. This is proof of any show out there. When you have comedians out there saying, oh, well, you know, male comedians get paid more than women comedians. Look at the audience size. Go to a show. If you think that WNBA players should be getting paid the exact same as male professional athletes in the NBA, go to a game. Go to a WNBA game and go to an NBA game. Matter of fact, go to the WNBA finals and then go to an NBA game. Look at the difference in ticket sales. Look how many seats those stadiums put away just so it doesn't look as empty. Look at how many female comedians there are out there. Look at how much they sell in tickets. Because if you're funny, you're funny whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter. Like, that's not the thing that people are not looking at you and going, oh, she's a woman, she's not that funny. No, they're like, her jokes are funny or her jokes are not funny. If you can make a person laugh, then you're funny. If you can make a person laugh enough, you'll get paid for it. People are going to pay regardless of your sex. Prime example, looking at just entertainers. You get an entertainer like Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston will sell out anything when she was alive, when she was singing. Same thing with Mariah Carey when she was her prime. People didn't care that she was a woman versus man. The fact is that she can entertain. She can do what she was being paid to do. And she did it extraordinarily well. So she was selling tickets. She was selling out places. Beyonce is another artist. I don't even have to look at the stats. I know Beyonce gets paid more than Drake in a concert. Why? Because it's Beyonce. She sells out stuff. If she does a tour, she's going to get way more money than Drake would. And Drake is one of the hottest hip-hop artists out there. Now, I could be wrong. I don't think I am. Because Beyonce can sell out anywhere. Worldwide. Germany. She can sell out places in Latin America. She can sell out Europe. I'm confident Drake does not have the same access to the world and notoriety in the world that Beyonce does. I think Beyonce can go anywhere in the world and sell it out. I believe if she wanted to, she can go to Russia and sell out a concert. There'll be people there that don't understand anything she's saying, but know it's Beyonce and are loving the concert. People aren't going to feel the same way about Drake, and Drake is one of the hottest rappers out there right now. So if you are good enough to get the results of equal pay and you're bringing in the same amount of fans, yeah, you deserve equal pay, if not more, because you're putting out more. If, like, for example, in my personal opinion, the U.S. women's soccer team, they're way better at putting on a show and playing hardcore than the men's soccer team. I'm not a sports expert, so for all you guys out there that are like, that's not true, look at the... I don't care, dude. I'm talking about my personal opinion. If you don't like it, don't watch the show. Don't listen to this podcast. That's cool. You don't have to. Change the channel. Leave a comment if you want. I don't care. This is my personal opinion. It's my podcast. I'm going to say what I think. That's why it's called Real Talk with RJ. So I believe that when I watch men's soccer, I see so much that these guys are just crying on the field, buying time, like nudging each other and doing this like childish tantrum stuff to get the ball back. It's nonsense. I don't want to sit there. It's like, I don't want to watch boxing and watch the guys hugging each other for 12 rounds. I don't want to see that. I want to see boxing. If I'm watching a soccer game, I want to watch soccer. I don't want to watch an acting match of who can flop better. The women get out there and they play soccer. They kick the crap out of each other. They slide into each other. They hurt each other. And then they get right back up and keep playing. They don't waste time on the ground. If they're on the ground, it's because something really happened. So in my opinion, who can bring in more tickets? Hey, I think, without looking at statistics, I think that the women's soccer team can bring in more tickets. Now, people are saying, well, then they should be getting paid more money. You got to look at their contracts. When you actually look at the contracts of the United States women's soccer team, you'll see that they have a lot of other initiatives that actually make them more money in the end. They don't have the same risks that men have. Now, the men's United States soccer team, they just about every one of them belongs to actual soccer clubs, which are known to the rest of the world as football clubs. Like, we're the only country in the world that calls soccer football soccer. Everyone else calls it, you know, football because they use their feet 99% of the time with this ball. So it makes sense. But anyway, that's always this American pride debate. But the men from the different football clubs have, you know, insurance benefits and other benefits from their clubs already. And the women don't, because very many of them are not on professional squads. In fact, many of them happen to be on college squads. So they have a lot of incentives that they get. So in essence, they make more money in incentives than the men do. Men get paid based off of winning. And, you know, it's more of a physical game at times. But again, I will say that the women tend to play a lot harder, in my opinion, than the men. They get up and they're not about acting. They're about chasing that goal, chasing the plays. Now, when you look at the WNBA, it's like watching a scrimmage most of the time. You don't see any dunking. You don't see any showmanship. It's just a game. People want to be entertained. If they're going to pay a lot of money, like your average ticket for an NBA game, if you're going to sit in the nosebleeds, it's like maybe $80, depending on what team you're playing, or you're going to go see. If that's a playoff game, dude, you're probably going to play at least $700 to $1,000 for nosebleeds if it's a playoff game. But the thing is that people are being entertained when they go to these games. There's battles, there's rivalries, there's good shooting, there's dunks, there's style, there's swag, there's attitude. You're going to pay a lot of money to go get entertained. Nobody's going to pay lots of money to go be bored. If you are at a professional event and you're looking at your phone more often than you're actually watching the event, I'm not talking about you recording the event. I'm talking about you're more on IG or social media, or you're just watching YouTube because you're bored out of your mind. Why would they think in their right mind that they deserve more money? Now, I know that I went off on a tangent, but I'm talking about, like, this is about the sexist movement. There's so many people that justify things really quickly when it's done by a woman, and then they condemn things really quickly when it's done by a man. If you want equality, take equality. Quit trying to call superiority quality, or excuse me, equality. It's not. That's just the reality. Because if, I think that I think should be changed as well, in my opinion. Yeah, people are out there saying, you know, my body, my choice. When it comes down to abortion, a woman should have the choice to abort a fetus or her child if she wants to. It's her body. It's her choice. That's your choice. You have your right to your opinion. I have my right to mine. But the thing is that it's not fair, because what if there's a man out there who got this woman pregnant? He was not trying to get her pregnant. He didn't want to get her pregnant. He didn't want a child with her. Guess what? If this woman chooses to have a baby, she has access to that man's bank account. She can force that man to pay for that child's existence, even though that man did not want that child. For up until he's 28, or whatever state laws say in that person's state. But now the father of that child has to be there for that child, even if he didn't want or plan for the child to exist. Now let's say the roles are reversed. The man wants the child, the woman doesn't. The man wants to be a father so badly, and the woman says, nope, you're done. I'm sorry, I'm not going to have the baby. She kills the baby. Man is SOL. Does nothing. He doesn't get to have that child. I think if you want it to be equal, if we're going to go for equal rights, I believe that since it's your body, your right, it should be also equal. This man's money, his right. If he didn't want the child, he should not be forced to pay. If you guys established this was a one-night thing, or this is a fling, you didn't expect a child, it's his option, his choice. He shouldn't have to pay for a child he didn't want. Just like you shouldn't have to have a child you didn't want. Now, I believe if we're going to be equal, because you want to say, no, if you have the child, he has to pay for it. Okay. Well, let's reverse the roles and show true equality. If the man wants that baby and the woman does not, she should be obligated to have that baby and then turn custody over to the man. And then that man should be able to come after her for child support. I know there's going to be a lot of women out there saying, oh, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. No, no, that's called equality. That's not superiority. Equality is across the board. Superiority is where there's double standards. There shouldn't be. So if we're going to talk about equality, nobody should have had an opinion about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard before all the facts came out. People wanted to judge and say, oh, Johnny Depp is horrible and this and that. It was so refreshing to see all the fans out there that stood by Johnny's side. People that think for themselves. All those publicity outlets out there, those news outlets and media outlets that were condemning Johnny Depp and saying there's a big backlash about this. Guess what? There really wasn't. They're trying to make a big backlash about it. They're trying to get the court of public opinion to shut down Johnny Depp's career. But guess what? The truth came out. and we saw that Amber Heard is actually the villain in this story. She made herself look really stupid. And Johnny Depp looked incredible. He maintained his real self. You know, he didn't deny. He's like, yeah, I used drugs. I did. There was a lot of weed that I smoked. There's a lot of coke that I used. Like, I used drugs. But I was never abusive to her. She hit me in the head with a door. She stabbed me, like, cut my finger. She defecated on the bed. Like, what kind of crap is that? I've been in, like, the lowest parts of society in different places, and I've never, ever heard of a woman doing that in my life. That was pretty extreme. If a man had done that, oh, guarantee everyone, TMZ and everybody else would be throwing it on the, oh, let's say, like, oh, Kanye West happened to defecate on Kim's bed. What is going on with that? Nah. There's always a double standard. Women can get away with so much more than guys can. It shouldn't be that way. It should be equality. But I'm so happy, like, with all my heart, I am so elated that all that stuff is happening to Amber Heard, because she essentially attempted to destroy a person's reputation and his name because he didn't want to be with her anymore. I heard the text message, or I saw the text messages. I heard the voicemails that she left. I heard the recordings of her and him talking, where he's like, look, just give me space. She's like, I don't want to give you space. Don't do this. And then her trying to mischaracterize what was really going on to fit her narrative. If the roles were reversed, people would hate that. People are like, oh, he's controlling. They're just trying to empathize with Amber Heard and saying that what she's doing is okay. It's not. How would you feel if you were charged with a crime and before your attorneys got to say something or defend you or present evidence that showed you were not guilty, or the prosecutor even came in and started talking about their side, how would you feel if the jury and the judge had already decided, yeah, you're guilty. I heard about it. You're guilty. I heard what they said that you did. You're guilty. How would you feel? And why is it okay for us to do that on such a large scale? We're out there so often jumping to conclusions without hearing the facts of the case. Why is that okay? When are we going to start thinking like individuals and start, instead of being told to think like the way other people want us to think? Like, I can keep going on and on about this double standard, and I might make another video about another video and podcast, of course, about double standards. But at some point, we're going to have to realize that it's okay to think like an individual. That's what makes things so beautiful, is that not everybody sees things the same. People are trying to get you to see things the way they want you to and to think the way they want you to fit their narrative. And as a result, it takes away your unique identity. Pay attention to this. In the whole alphabet community, the LGBTQ and all the other letters that they're using now, people, when I was growing up, there was gay, bi, and straight. People are out there waving the gay flag proudly. Okay, go for it. I fought for your freedom to do that. I'm a vet. That's what we fought for. You have the freedom to express yourself. Now we have the bisexual flag. Okay. Now we have the transgender flag. Okay. If I were to create the straight flag and walk out there and swing it high, there would be a lot of backlash. A lot of people would be offended. That is so offensive. You're making a mockery of the LGBTQ movement. Why? How? Why is it okay for them to do something, but I can't? Why can't I be proud, as proud of myself being straight as they are being gay? I'm not saying they're wrong. I have no right to say they're wrong. I'm not God. So how come they're able to fly their flags high, yet I can't? Why are people all over the world, there's schools out there. There are schools that have rainbow American flags in them. Flags with rainbow colors on them. When I was growing up, two types of people were gay. People who decided that they wanted to be gay, and people who just felt, hey, there is no choice here. I'm gay. Those are the two types of people that were gay. That was not pushed or influenced by teachers. Now we have teachers trying to convince heterosexual children who have no idea who they really are yet, that they're gay. And then there's others trying to teach them, hey, you're non-binary. Kids are already confused as it is. They're trying to convince them that there's something that they don't even think they are. These types of choices should be made by the individual, not influenced by people who have no idea what they're talking about. Like, oh, well, they have a teaching degree. That doesn't mean anything. There's doctors out there with PhDs that still kill people. Just because you have a degree does not mean you're an expert in the field. It means you studied enough to say, hey, you're smart enough in this field. All right, cool. But it is not okay to sit there and try to brainwash children to believe that they are one gender or another gender when they don't even know who they are yet. They haven't even found their own personality yet. They're still seeking for that. You're trying to convince them that there's something they're not. You're trying to confuse these children. And the thing that really irritates me on top of that is that people are focusing so much time in classes. These teachers are focusing, not all of them. There are good teachers that are still trying to teach kids educational facts. But now you got all these teachers trying to convince children of moral assumptions, moral beliefs. Moral has nothing to do with education except for thank you, no thank you, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. I appreciate it. Like proper etiquette, yes. The true version of tolerance where you are allowed to, or where you are allowing other people to express themselves freely without trying to oppress or hinder them. You know, as long as it doesn't infringe on your rights. But they're telling people that if you don't believe like we do, you're racist, you're homophobic, you're a bigot, you're all this and that because you don't agree with me. They immediately villainize you because you won't fit their narrative. So why does that irritate me? Well, teachers are trying to stick up for the kids. No, they're trying to brainwash these kids. Think about this. The United States of America used to be one of the smartest countries in the world, academically, speaking about schools. Our kids are getting dumber and dumber because they're focusing more on the wrong things. Let me ask you, for all you guys out there born and raised in the United States, when you were growing up in school, how much time did teachers dedicate to learning how to balance a checkbook or learning how to manage a bank account? How many teachers out there taught you about how to manage and properly use a credit card? How to properly build credit? How many teachers out there taught you to get a good job so that you can, get a good education so you can get a good job? Well, guess what? In the elite schools, the private schools, they're not teaching them that. They're teaching them to get a good education so they can run their own companies. My brothers and sisters, you have been brainwashed to believe that you are minions. You've been programmed. And the really interesting thing about good programming is that when you really properly brainwash and program someone, they don't realize it. They honestly believe their own ideas are their own. When's the last time you did your own research about something to which you feel antagonistic about? You know, Donald Trump was a big, hot topic to discuss. But how many people actually did their own research on him? Because people were like, oh yeah, he's racist. He's racist. Donald Trump was super racist. Well, you know, I did my own research on that man's career and his history, and he was never called racist until he became the president of the United States. In fact, all the people in The View were big supporters of him. They loved him when he was running for office. They considered him a good friend and all this nice stuff. Donald Trump has been widely accepted and donated millions and millions of dollars to minority organizations, including those of Israel, black organizations, and tons of other organizations. But interestingly, once he became the president and he wasn't following the agenda that all those politicians wanted him to follow, he became racist. And then next thing you know, his tweets are getting taken out of context and things that he's been saying are getting taken out of context. And now people don't want to talk about him because he's a racist. Wake up. Not just America, but wake up the world. Form your own opinions, do your own research, and don't jump to conclusions when you don't know the story. That's the real talk. Don't be a puppet. Be the puppeteer. Thank you for spending time with me on Real Talk with RJ. Signing out.